Today on Movie Rollers, we talk about Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation, and Southpaw. It's time for Movie Rollers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And Yesti as well.
Movie Rollers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news, and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming, or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. We should talk about the weather here. A very muggy San Diego August.
Yeah but we shouldn't complain.
Yeah. No, come on. Mugginess, I'm going to complain about that all day long. We don't live here in Southern California to deal with humidity. We're in the desert, for crying out loud.
That's true.
I think you're the only one that feels that way.
I don't like to sweat.
Yeah, I agree.
So, still at Yasti's house, enjoying some delicious fruit.
And the rest of the champagne from the birthday episode.
Yes, Yasti definitely knows how to put on a selection here.
And we've chomped our way through everything. And
there was a ton of fruit. Peaches.
On the, yep, yes. Chocolates.
Which are fruits we never get in our house because Rashmi doesn't buy them.
Why do you discriminate against the stone fruit?
Because I don't. Okay, two things. One, I don't like biting into a hairy peach, and I never think about cutting up so nicely like you have. And secondly, I don't like biting into the stone in the middle.
Right.
But I think
don't bite the stone.
I think cutting into it will solve that problem. Yes. Yeah. So we too will have nectarines and peaches in our house soon too.
I demand it.
Oh dear.
Sure. It's your birthday.
I get
today you are allowed.
Nectarines have precipitously risen in my esteem in the last couple
of years.
They're
really delicious.
They're getting to be my favorite fruit.
Running especially
mangoes,
when they're ripe like
love
this.
Mangoes.
I love even yeah, mangoes, watermelon and nectarines are running neck and neck.
Wow.
But the only thing for me is they
you get it, nectarines.
Nectarines. Neck. The only thing with me is that they take a while to ripen.
Yeah.
Pears, I almost don't want to buy because of that. You always buy a pear, they like take 3 weeks to turn into something edible.
Yeah.
And then they're too ripe.
Oh, no, they can never be too ripe for me.
Really?
When a pear falls apart. Oh, my God.
See, I think it's just hard to eat these things. And it just takes labor, like you lovingly prepared this, and it looks fabulous and it tastes delicious.
The
you
let the fruit.
I'm going to eat one right now.
Like it's mango, you let the nectarine ripen until you can smell it. And once you can start smelling it, then you put it in the refrigerator. And then you have a cold nectarine cut up, and it's the best thing.
Oh, delightful.
With some yogurt, maybe.
Mm.
Or an acai bowl. But anyway, we digress.
We do digress. This is not Fruity Wallace.
Fruity Wallace, yes.
So we have Mission Impossible and Southpaw to talk about.
I'm so excited to speak to both of you about these movies.
So which
I've literally
one you want to
had
talk
to
about
bite
first?
My tongue.
Well, Southpaw, Rashmi and I just saw today.
Yep.
So that was kind of hard because we saw it as a civilian, as in not a press screening. So we almost decided that we weren't going to bother reviewing it, but let's give it a go.
Yeah,
so I haven't had a long time to formulate my thoughts on that, but should we start with that one or Mission Impossible?
Sure, let's start with Southpaw.
Okay.
Okay, so I had to actually Google what Southpaw actually meant. So I figured I'd give our listeners a definition of what it means. So Southpaw is apparently a boxing term that designates the stance where the boxer has his right hand and right foot forward, leaning with right jabs and following with a left cross right hook. Southpaw is the normal stance for a left-handed boxer. The corresponding designation for a right-handed boxer is apparently orthodox and is generally a mirror image of the southpaw stance. So that's kind of interesting.
And
I
being
read
left-handed,
that,
I've been called a southpaw on more than one occasion, not because I box people,
right,
but because it is also a slang term for a left-hander. But
right.
In the movie context, it's exactly as you've described.
Yeah,
well
so that
done.
Was interesting. Anyway, so basically Southpaw is also the latest movie offering by acclaimed director Antoine Fuqua about a boxer named Billy the Great, played by Jake Gyllenhaal, who has something to prove. And that's really all the intro that I wanted to give because I kind of went into it cold as well. And this is written by Kurt Sutter. And the cast, like I said, Jake Gyllenhaal, Rachel McAdams, Forest Whitaker, Una Lawrence, who plays the daughter, and 50 Cent makes an interesting appearance here. So who wants to go first on this one? Well, Yazdi, you go first, and that might give you a bit more time to formulate your thoughts or to react to Yazdi's.
Yeah, it didn't take me too long to formulate my thoughts. I think this movie is miserablest nonsense. It is deeply, nakedly, shamefully manipulative, stupid movie. I hated it. There.
Wow.
Joe?
You know, the marketing material for this movie was very, very enticing. I mean, you know, we had some great trailers. It looks like a you know, kind of a lifetime performance here by Jake Gyllenhaal. So I think this was just disappointingly commercial for me. And when I say that, I think it follows a lot of the tropes that we've seen before. I think the movie isn't as hateful as Yazdi describes it here. There's real venom in your tone there. Yeah. I haven't heard that for a long time. But for me, I think it was, like I say, just kind of middle-of-the-road type stuff. When you have this director and this cast, mm-hmm. you expect more. You expect the art house boxing movie. You want Raging Bull. You want, you know, all of these things that... the movie, I think, in its marketing, appears to be the black and white shots and the Gyllenhaal with teeth falling out. And instead, what we get is the story of a boxer who, you know, is not necessarily the best individual in the world, and a rather cliche-ridden story that goes through, you know, very predictable twists and turns and ends exactly where you expect it to.
So I feel like I'm walking into the Chaffee episode again.
Wait. You have to try and extract the many half-naked Jake Gyllenhaal images that we get fed in this movie, because Rashmi, that had to affect
the physical attributes of Jake Gyllenhaal.
Be a professional, woman.
Didn't pollute my review of this at all. Okay, look. This is what I'm saying. Give Jake Gyllenhaal his Oscar already. Let's just cut the crap. Let's just email his statue email. Let's just mail him his statue already. I think this is another outstanding performance by the great Jake. What a versatile actor this is. For me, this was an incredible, believable performance in a devastatingly moving sports movie. And I don't really like sports movies, so maybe that has something to do with it. This totally worked for me on many levels, including how cut Jake Gyllenhaal was. Didn't hurt.
Explain the hate, Yazdi.
Yeah.
So first of all, I should come out and say that I am team Jake Gyllenhaal. I've been saying 2 years before everybody else that Jake Gyllenhaal deserves an Oscar. He deserved one last year for Enemy. He deserved one last year for Nightcrawler.
Correct.
He probably has two. He has two more movies coming out this year, and I do hope he gets an Oscar. If he gets an Oscar for Southpaw, I would still be very happy for him. But I think he deserves a better director, and he deserves a better movie. This movie has absolutely nothing to say. It just follows this tired, you know, man who is kind of at the top of his form, who falls from grace and has to claw his way back up. And it's what, like you, Joe, I think maybe it's because I came from a place of such high expectations, because it's Gyllenhaal and he is so emotionally and physically vested in this movie, right? He's so good in this movie. And one of the shocking things about this movie is, how can you like somebody so much in a movie you hate so much? And my problem with the movie is, why did Anthony Fuqua need to make this movie? Wasn't Raging Bull not made? Wasn't The Champ not made? Wasn't, you know, Rocky not made? I mean, and I have no problem with people tackling this, or Million Dollar Baby not made. I have no problem with going back
to this.
The Fighter not made. I have no problem, but see what The Fighter does. It takes the boxing story and adds so much nuance and complexity to this. The only thing, I mean, in this movie, the only thing which is driving the plot is, you know, if you need motivation, kill off a character. If it's kind of stalling again, kill off another character and give him inspiration. So it was, because it was so nakedly mainstream, all it wants to do is make you cry, and it really didn't have anything much to say. So that's what kind of bothered me. Maybe it's because I have so much, such high expectations.
Yeah, and I guess, Joe, you didn't like it as much as I did. So what made it fall for you?
I think it's just so many tropes we've seen before. I mean, Training Day, I think, is an Antoine Fuqua movie. And so I expected us to be transported into a kind of a grittier, more real world with characters that have multiple motivations here. And ultimately, this movie, just everyone seemed so flat. I mean, you take a look at the Forrest Whitaker character. He's just a poor...
Morgan Freeman.
It's right, Morgan Freeman, but he's almost like the Rocky, the Mickey character from Rocky. You know, he's a trainer in the downtrodden downtown gym. I think ultimately it was the ham-fisted direction that really bothered me more than anything. The movie didn't seem to have any real... I mean, yes, you say it has nothing to say. For me, it had no integrity in its scene, in the way that the plot was hung together. You know, he had this daughter that he was, you know, fighting for. Some of the court scenes were kind of nonsensical. The only thing that rescued it for me was Gyllenhaal's performance here, because I think he did really work hard, I think, on a realistic portrayal of a character whose behaviors were not really viable.
See, I disagree. So for me, I think what worked is, I don't think that if you follow the logic you're saying, Yazdi, that you're ever going to make another sports movie again, because all sports movies are about redemption and the struggle of the main character. But I think what worked for me is that it showed, A, that someone successful didn't necessarily come from a background where everything was given to them. That these were kids who grew up together and there was a lot of loyalty and they were from a home and they made a success of their life and they never really forgot where they came from. I like that aspect of it. And then for me, it showed like the incredible dark side of the money involved in sport and the industry that these people become and how many people live off them. And then once they're not a success, how everyone goes away. I kind of like that.
Have you seen Rocky?
Yeah, but I think that, you know, Sylvester Stallone is a little difficult to take seriously, right? Because it's Sylvester Stallone as Rocky Balboa. I mean, this is a modern day, this could be a modern day Rocky. And again, I'm not saying there's anything new in this, but it had some little things in it that I felt were more gutsy, right? That I don't want to give too much away, but it was a little bit unexpected for me. And although I thought that, you know, this is a 2-hour movie, and I would normally find that quite long, but I think a large part of the movie is those action scenes in the boxing ring. I found the action really thrilling to watch. I mean, in fact, at some points I thought I was actually watching a real boxing match and forgot that we were watching a movie. Like, it really transported me there.
I had a bit of a hard time with the boxing simply because a fight like that would be stopped. And there are movies that do this well. I mean, the Rocky movies have fights that simply are absolutely
preposterous,
ridiculous. Right. They wouldn't happen. I mean, that fight would be stopped within seconds of it starting. In this movie, I just didn't buy a lot of the action here because, like, the finale, you know, those boxing matches, if you look at a movie as hateful as Rocky IV, right, where, you know, Stallone is fighting the Russian boxer and there's all sorts of nonsense politics in that movie, but... they're still doing really exciting boxing matches because they take their time to build their way through the fight. You have the ups and the downs. And this movie just, it felt like it was all gone too soon. I didn't really buy the fact that this guy has to be beaten to a pulp before he can react. And it was just a shame to kind of see them muddle through what was really clumsily written and also clumsily directed stuff. I mean, you know, there were a couple of visceral punch moments where I did grimace. I mean, I won't lie about that, but the excitement and the tension within the fight scenes was missing.
Yeah, and I think what really bothered me is through all the fight scenes, there is this background commentary, and it's like somebody's reading the script in terms of, you know, this is how you should... It is. It's like somebody's like, oh my God, you know, he has not, you know, won anything in the last 5 years, and, you know, his wife has happened and his daughter has happened, and oh my God, this is an amazing moment. It's like the scriptwriter telling you, yeah, audience member, this is how you should be feeling. Audience member, in case you've fallen asleep, this is what's going on. So it, you know, it
very, very astute, you know, it just observation. Felt, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, listen, I mean, I love movies which take a genre and kind of, you know, get out of the genre, kind of almost, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? They kind of
Yeah, flip things on its
head. Yeah, the flip things. I mean, probably McFarland USA will be on my list of the top 10 movies of 2015. You know, the one about the runners with Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
I love the Million Dollar Arm. I fall for this kind of stuff. I like, you know, the rah-rah, you know, underdogs making it. That's the stuff I love, but it has to come with a place of authenticity. And at every point in the movie, it just felt like it was doing this posturing, like, oh, you know, life sucks. And, you know, there is a lot of this hyper-masculine, you know, piss and blood and sweat. I mean, how many shots do you need of, you know, thick blood streaks falling from, you know, Jake Gyllenhaal's lips?
I think it was to stop you looking at his abs.
I don't know. It was, it just, there's a lot of posturing. And then there was nothing to say about this character. And, you know, again, Gyllenhaal adds so much nuance to this character.
Yes.
I mean, even his vocalisms, I mean, I didn't realize this in the moment, but when I was thinking about it, he never learned, he was never trained, you know, formally in boxing, or his character was never formally trained in boxing. So he's never learned defense, and he's taken one too many knocks to his head. And so there's something wrong with his head. I mean, even when he's giving a speech, he's kind of slurring a little bit, and he's saying things which are almost stream of consciousness. So he brings so much texture and depth to this character, which the director absolutely has no intention of exploiting. All he cares is this person very close to him is dead. Okay, you know, now he's going to, you know, turn around. Then he gets on the ring, another person who he knew. It just...
I blame the writer for that rather than the director, but okay.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Yeah, again, I think it's one of those things where a movie works or it doesn't for you. Yeah. And for me, it totally worked and I could totally buy into it. And maybe it was more emotive. Maybe this is one that works for women and it doesn't work for men. Who knows?
Yeah.
So let's not beat this one up anymore or beat Rush Me Up anymore.
No, no.
Let's just sum up. Joe.
So again, disappointingly commercial, I think, is what I said at the beginning. And you know, by that I mean, this movie is a very much standard kind of down on his luck, hero falls, hero rises type story. So I just wanted so much more. When you have this amount of talent with a movie, you expect, you know, the art house boxing movie, the movie that explores some areas and darkness that you know, deep within characters. And, you know, this was pretty much just middle of the road type stuff. So middle of the road type score wasn't totally waste of time here, but it was a 5 out of 10.
Yes, D. I'm scared.
Yeah, I expected so much from this movie and from this director, but it turned out that it's an inauthentic, inferior 2015 remake of Rocky. And it's, at the face of it, an empty redemption story. So I give it 4 out of 10.
Oh, okay. For me, look, I'm going to say Southpaw will thrill you and choke you up. I had a lump in my throat for most of the movie. And when I wasn't on the verge of tears, Yazdi, you said it right. Maybe it was a little bit manipulative. I was tense from not knowing how a fight was going to turn out, truly.
Really? But, no, come on.
I mean, obviously at the end, of course. But
Sorry,
so for me,
we don't want to gang up on you.
I know. So I'm going to give this one, I'm going to give this one an 8 out of 10, just to spite you both. I almost gave it a 9, 8, and I think Jake Gyllenhaal gave it an amazing performance.
I won't argue.
He's the only reason it gets.
And Rachel McAdams too. Rachel McAdams, I thought, was brilliant as his wife.
Yeah, she does this funny Brooklyn accent.
She does this, what is it?
Northeast. What, I don't know if it was Brooklyn.
Yeah, it's like a Northeast.
Well, she's obviously portraying somebody who's grown up tough, right?
Yeah.
She's grown up street, and you know the two of them have grown up street, but
yeah.
I presume, let me guess, you did not watch the trailer.
Correct.
Yeah. See? I think this of...
I really tried to stay away from it. I heard all the hype from...
I watched
film festivals at the beginning of the... About the it.
Yeah.
I saw the... I don't like to see trailers like you, but I had to see it because it was shown while I was watching another movie, so I didn't have a choice. But of all the crimes committed by all the trailers, I think this one is the most egregious this year because it gives away a huge plot point right there in the trailer. A huge plot point. So for me, anything to do with Rachel McAdams' character was not a surprise because it's right there in the trailer.
Right. And it's actually in the description too in Rotten Tomatoes, so if it's, you have a local.
Who is doing the marketing for these movies?
Yeah.
Yeah, bums anyway. In seats, that's always what they try and do.
Anyway, I wanted to just say, Rachel McAdams, I think, again, she's a really diverse character actress. She's really good. I really want her to have her own full movie that really exploits her great talents.
Moving on, Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation.
Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation is the fifth in the series. This one is written and directed by Christopher McQuarrie. And Christopher McQuarrie has a reasonably long connection with Tom Cruise because he directed the adaptation of Jack Reacher with Tom Cruise a few years ago. But most recently, he was also involved with a movie that I loved, and I think all of us did, which was last year's The Edge of Tomorrow. And here he teams up again with Tom Cruise, or rather Tom Cruise gives him the very precious reins of this very profitable franchise. And here we are with the fifth edition of Mission Impossible, and it's got the good guys and it's got the bad guys and spies and CIA and IMF and la da da, you know, people fighting, people doing spy things. I think the plot is almost
irrelevant.
So I won't even bother. The movie stars, of course, Tom Cruise, now sprightly at age 53 years and going strong. It also stars Jeremy Renner and Simon Pegg from the last couple installments of the movie. Newcomer Rebecca Ferguson plays the female lead, and then Wing Rames and Sean Harris round up the cast.
Alec Baldwin.
Oh, and Alec Baldwin is in it as well, yes. So what do you guys think about Rogue Nation?
Okay, so my first observation about this movie is that Tom Cruise has really strong hair on his head. I mean, they really put him through the ringer, and his hair stays on his head. May you both have strong hair like that as you grow older.
No, I just did my DNA test, and I have a 7x risk of male pattern baldness. So
okay, so
which clearly Tom Cruise does not.
Right, okay, that was my first. But, you know, that aside, look, this is a fun movie which really put a huge smile on my face that never really left until the credits ran.
Joe?
Yeah. Entertainment, entertainment, entertainment. I mean, this movie does exactly what it sets out to do, which is to give you a riotous good time from start to finish. And in that regard, it's a little almost boringly predictable in terms of how... Like, this is nothing that we've seen before. This entire franchise is very much fun, very well executed. It's big, it's bodacious, it's got It's well written. It's got some good stunts. It has a plot that keeps you on your toes. You know, I don't think any of this is, you know, genius writing, but it's all just so slickly put together that you can't help but come away feeling entertained. But honestly, there's nothing memorable about this movie. I can't distinguish it from the last one, Ghost Protocol. I can't distinguish it from any of the other ones that came before it. This was just another installment of something that was fun and entertaining, and that's really all there is to say. I mean, you know, go see it.
Before you start, do you think Yazdi liked it or didn't like it?
I think Yazdi is going to be impressed by it. I don't know that you will necessarily be singing its praises and well, let's see what you say.
How wrong you are, my friend.
I was going to say.
I'm going to be singing its praises loud and clear.
Wow. Okay.
I think short of Mad Max, this is the best movie of the summer. And keep in mind that I loved Kingsman, and I loved Spy. And I think this movie is a better movie than both of those. Mm. And that's saying something. I think this movie is, remember, we were talking earlier about taking a genre and exceeding it, transcending it. I think this movie takes the thriller action spy genre again and gives it so much. I actually felt thrilled. I felt when the, you know, the music comes on, at, you know, at the start of it, I had goosebumps while I was watching this movie. Yeah. I like this movie so much, I couldn't wait to see it again. I saw it a second time.
You did?
I did see it a second time.
Saw it?
Yeah, we saw it on Monday, and I saw it again on Friday.
Oh my God.
The day that it opened, and I'm happy to report, while all the thrills and surprises were not there, because obviously I'd seen it the first time, I was still remarkably impressed at how beautifully it's constructed and how tight it is. The plot is airtight. I love this movie.
Yeah, you know, look, this is the fifth installment, and they have to keep coming up with new stunts and new ways of getting to the same end point. Like you said, Joe, it doesn't matter which one you're watching, but, you know, they keep delivering. And although there's not much new stuff, it's thrilling. It's really, really, really thrilling. And I think at the end of the day, like we said, really it doesn't matter what the plot is, because I think when a franchise is so well loved, like Fast and Furious or X-Men, really it's just about spending more time with the same characters again. You kind of become endeared to them. And so, you know, I think this had the unique, I think what this did really, really well is it had the right amount of action and humor. It added so much humor that wasn't like slapstick comedy, but it really made you laugh and enjoy.
Just to be the naysayer here a little bit, I mean, the main issue I had with this was that it brought nothing new to the whole genre. It brought nothing new to the franchise. And Yazdi, you made the comparison to a movie like Kingsman. Mm-hmm. Kingsman was so bright and entertaining and unexpected and
unique.
And unique and cheeky and fun that this movie just seems plain vanilla in comparison. Now, that doesn't mean to say that I didn't like this movie. Entertainment, wall-to-wall entertainment. I mean, it's like, you know, it's superbly executed. But I can't remember it.
Really?
And I can't remember anything that's different about this movie that I hadn't seen before in Ghost Protocol. And I'm a little bit less gung-ho about this franchise than perhaps you are. But
yeah, I think we like it a lot more.
But there simply isn't anything here that elevates it above what we've seen before. And that doesn't mean to say, you know, it's like another tasty candy bar. But it's just, it seems like it's so
the same.
But yeah, there was nothing new here. But what was new?
But don't you? Oh my God! I think the whole scene set in the Vienna Opera House is one for the ages. I mean,
the
motorbike chase is one for the ages. I think the whole action scene set where he has to perfectly. It reminded me most of the first movie. You know, it has that precision, that stealth of hand. You know, that whole scene where he has to go underground and replace the security badge. That's so smart. And, you know, the second time I watched it, it's not relying on cheap tricks. It's not relying on fast editing. It's not relying on, you know, loud music. That all those scenes take their time. They're built slowly and they have really good paybacks. I mean,
that whole section is a large part of the movie, right. Really.
But in terms of the car chase, any different to the car chase that we had in Ghost Protocol?
Because it has ingenuity in it. It has, I mean, one of the
nonsense.
Things that really...
It's the same, it's the exact same thing. Choreographed brilliantly, scripted brilliantly, executed brilliantly. But it's just an extension of that same thing that we've seen before.
Yeah, but it's cool motorbikes.
It's not just that. I mean, so...
But it's a cool woman on a motorbike.
May I offer, you know...
In a cool leather outfit with a nice helmet.
May I offer Police Academy 6 or Rocky 7? Okay, you know, every movie which is in the third, fourth, fifth of its sequel, it's like exhausted. It's just going round the track.
I agree.
There's nothing exhausted about the movie.
They did not just call this one in. I give you that.
And what I think... Everybody's giving Tom Cruise a lot of props for, you know, all, you know, he's famously done most of the stunts himself and so forth. But for me, the real amazing component of this movie was the female lead played Elsa Faust, I think. She's a Swedish actress called Rebecca Ferguson, who looks to me, I'm surprised none of the other reviews have brought this up. To me, she looks uncannily like Ingrid Bergman. And that right there steals the deal for me. But I really liked her character. She's almost like a female version of Ethan Hunt. And the whole movie, this is what we've not seen before. The whole movie plays this cat and mouse game of, is she or is she not, you know, aligned in her loyalties with Ethan Hunt? And I kind of believe that. And I liked that, you know, she's not some skinny Megan Foxy kind of person who has been recruited, you know, to show up in cutoffs, you know, shorts and just like, you know, in the Transformers movie. She has grit and she has some meat to her bones. And when she fights, you know, she lands on those people. I don't know, that character to me somehow felt just right. You know, and she's 35 years old. She's not 18 years old. And she's a good match for Tom Cruise. And I don't know. I think
what works in this movie, Joe, that may be a little bit different to what we've seen before, is there aren't all-out goodies and baddies. And so I think what Yazdi's explaining is you have a female interest where you don't know where her loyalties lie, but that doesn't make her good or bad. And that kind of forms a lot of the plot, right? Because you never know where her allegiance lies, and really it lies to herself. That's really the purpose of that character, I think. But I just think, you know, like you said, it's not dialed in at all. No one's dialed anything in.
No.
I mean, this is, you know, 100% commitment, regardless of how ridiculous it gets. And like, what is Tom Cruise doing? He just gets better and better in my book. I mean, yeah, he's always Tom Cruise, but I mean, the guy's 53.
No, that, and don't get me wrong. This is fabulous filmmaking. I mean, in terms of a commercial blockbuster, this is exactly how to hit those notes. So, you know, my negatives hopefully don't come across as this movie sucks, because this movie was brilliant. I mean, I had such a blast with it from beginning to end. It just felt so familiar, and I want to be excited by some of the... There wasn't any tangible sense of danger for any of the characters in the movie. Like, there's a very... You know, there's a scene where he has to switch a security chip in a thing. And not for one moment did I feel was there any real danger that this guy was not going to make it. And your mission, should you choose to accept it, is, you know, doing all of this stuff, going underwater. And it was all exciting and thrilling, but I never bought for a second that Tom Cruise was going to do anything but prevail.
But that's in every single movie. For me, it's about the journey, right? I mean, you know that the hero's always going to prevail, right? Otherwise, they're not the main character. And there's very few movies who will take the risk to take Casino Royale.
Right.
Right.
I was just going to say, you never expect James Bond to die.
No, but there are times when you don't know how he's going to escape the situation that
he's in. Right, and that's exactly how I felt about this one.
And this movie, yeah. I just thought, in fact, I figured it out. I knew exactly how that situation was going to get resolved. And I knew it from the beginning, and I knew before
I didn't get it.
And I knew before he jumped into the tank of water exactly what was going to happen.
No, you did not.
I promise you I did.
No, you did not know that thing was going to come
maybe not the exact mechanics of the beginning to end, but I knew ultimately how he would be...
Okay.
How he would escape from that situation. And I knew exactly what was going to happen. So for me, it was... And it was all set up at the beginning.
Yeah.
But anyway, so it's things like that kind of irritate me in the movie. And again, there's nothing fresh here, nothing new, nothing, you know, the car chases. I mean, you know, they're obviously sponsored by BMW. BMW's being bashed to bits in Dubai was what we saw in Ghost Protocol. BMW's being bashed to bits in, I think, where was it, in Istanbul, was it in this one? Wherever it was.
Casablanca,
thank you. And there's a lot of little product placements in here too, which were kind of a distraction. So again, not to take away from the fact that this movie was solid entertainment, but I just don't think it's as worthy of such high praise. I mean, honestly, next year I will not remember a thing about this movie. It's not remarkable in any way. It's not in the same way that Skyfall or Casino Royale reside in the mind. I can't tell you one Mission Impossible movie from another, and that's okay.
Right. But that's what I was going to say. No one's ever going to nominate a Mission Impossible movie for an Oscar or any other award, right?
Except in the technical category. But that's a
crying shame, because what they do here is so clever. They need to inject something else into this franchise to give it a little spark that we don't have right now.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, for me, short of the original Brian De Palma version where, you know, he famously has that scene where he comes in like a spider hanging on.
In number one.
For me, this has that same level of ingenuity. I mean, there's even an homage, I think, to the West Side Story when the female lead has this knife fight with the bad guy. I think that's an homage to West Side Story.
And the shadow work is phenomenal.
And again, you know, honestly, Joe, watch the... Whenever the movie opens or once it starts turning, watch that whole scene set in the Vienna Opera House. Just watch how it's been layered together. You know, there are no cheap tricks. It just is building. There are five different characters who are all trying to kill each other. And at no point do you have any doubt about... It's a fairly complicated situation, but you don't have any doubt in terms of how it's playing out. It's a masterclass on how to do this. I mean, the movie's running at some 95% on the tomato meter, and nothing would make the critics happier than to pan, you know, a fifth round of a tired franchise. But
So that sounds like a summing up, Yazdi. Yes. Give us a score. Do you agree with the 95%?
I absolutely agree with the 95%. I will give this a 9 out of 10. I really like this movie because it does everything right. And, you know, I just love, you know, there's all these little things in the movie. I love that Tom Cruise and the female lead never kiss. There is a romantic tension, but they don't cheapen it with the kiss. They even laugh at the fact that every Mission Impossible has a scene where somebody rips off their face and you find out that it has two jokes about it. So it's kind of...
I get so thrilled. Every time those repeats come, it's like game, right? The game is always there. Sorry, I'm interrupting your summing up.
And, like I said, I love The Kingsman and I love Spy, and the fact that, you know, this movie thrilled me even more. It made me giddy. I love it. 9 out of 10.
Wow. Joe. We'll do a Joe sandwich.
Really good stuff. I mean, there's nothing to knock about this movie in terms of it's able to deliver solid thrills and spills. I mean, we get that from beginning to end. And there's no point in this movie where you think that anyone's just, you know, collecting a paycheck. Everyone's busting their ass here to create a solidly entertaining movie, and I don't criticize it for that at all. I just want something a little new in this franchise, and something like Kingsman is a good example of a movie that takes this whole idea of spies and inject something else into the idea. And it may be too late. MI is what it is. It is what it is. So I'm going to give this an 8 out of 10. Really, really good, fun movie. Great summer blockbuster. But honestly, there is nothing new from the remaining four other movies in the franchise. This is just another great installment in the great franchise.
Okay, summer is truly underway and the blockbusters keep on coming, and thankfully they're not all crap. In fact, this one is fun and quite good. I thought it would be an impossible mission to keep us entertained for the fifth time, but hurrah, it wasn't. Nothing rogue about this one, 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
I did like Rebecca Ferguson.
Yeah, I think she was a great,
she was an amazing
great
female lead here. And really good. I think that...
So spunky.
So
yes,
spunky.
Yes, you made a couple of really good observations in that. She's not the classic kind of bimbo-esque female lead that we see so often
in
these
movies. Power, yeah.
That needs to be rescued. I mean, she's a fabulous character, and it's a fabulous portrayal of a fabulous character.
Yeah,
she really stole the movie for me.
Yeah, and the other thing I didn't mention also is that, and you guys are going to hate me for this, but, you know, I loved Casino Royale, but I've been, you know, progressively, you know, burdened by how this whole Daniel Craig character has become so, you know, Christopher Nolanized. You know, he's becoming dreary and
brooding
and the weight of the world.
I don't disagree with you, Yazdi.
So somebody has to take over that mantle of James Bond and do preposterous, fun, giddy, silly, completely implausible ridiculous things. And in a way, the very last, you know, when the credits come up, the first scene is of, you know, Tom Cruise running in a circle. That is James Bond. They're saying, you know, okay, maybe Tom Cruise is taking over James Bond. So I like that they're saying, okay, if James Bond is not being James Bond anymore, we'll do it for you. So it has some humor about it. But anyway, I understand.
No, I mean, I don't disagree with you. I mean, other than Casino Royale, I think the new Bond franchise has gone to very dark places. Skyfall was disappointingly dark. In that, you know, it wasn't really a spy thriller. It was like a siege movie, but... you know, again, this franchise is inventive and it's clever. It's just, it's not...
fun. It's so fun. It really is fun.
Let us know what you think. Mail at movierollers.com, twitter.com/movierollers, facebook.com/movierollers as well. Too many movies, too little time. Good night from me.
And me.
And me as well.